We certainly live in a time when the knowledge of God's word is not very widespread, even among God's own people, an ignorance of God's word is a major problem. And it's not that that is new to our time. Ignorance of God's word is a problem that has plagued man, going back to what we read from really early on and from after the creation of man. And it's the devil's interest to try to have us to keep us to be ignorant of what God has to say. We need to learn what our Creator has spoken to us. This book we call the Bible, and it has that name to distinguish it from all other books. It is the book that contains the inspired revelation from God Himself, word by word, of what He has to say to His creation, mankind, that He has made in His own image. This is it. And to be ignorant of the will of our Creator would be a disastrous choice for anyone. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." And there he's speaking about how the Gentiles walk, as he put it in the previous verse, speaking about the world and how those in the world are living. They're living in ignorance of God's word. Now, being ignorant of God's word, not knowing what God has said, what is that? What result does that have? He says they are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. And so we are. If we don't know what God says, we're not going to do what He says. We're going to be alien. We're going to be estranged from. We're going to be a foreigner to what God has taught us to do, as He being the Creator and we being His creation and possession. We're not going to be able to live our lives on this earth rightly without knowing what God tells us, because it's His word that reveals to us what is right. This is something that is taught in Romans chapter 1 in verses 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So are we going to be able to have eternal salvation without knowing what He says? That's how serious this is. We have to know His word if we're going to have eternal salvation. We're not going to have it any other way or around knowing what God has said. And then he very plainly states in verse 17 that the righteousness of God is revealed in His word, in the gospel of Christ. That's where we find what is right and also what is wrong, what we must do and what we must not do. And so we will be alienated from the life of God if we're ignorant of that. But if we know what He has said, and we know what God has taught as to what is right and wrong, and then we follow what He has said, then we have the hope of eternal salvation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, in chapter 4 and verse 6, we can see from what God says what was the key problem in Israel that led to their destruction. And God's people departed from Him and forsook Him in the Old Testament. Hosea verse 4 and 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." And there we see another part of the problem. Not knowing what God has said. Well, that lack of knowledge can come in two basic ways. Well, one is by never hearing what God has said. If we don't ever turn to God's Word to study that, to listen to what He has said. If we don't seek to know what God has said, if we don't study the Word of God, if we don't study the Scriptures, if we're not earnestly seeking to know God by studying the Bible, we're not going to know His Word. Well, that we'll be ignorant from their a total lack of effort. But another way that we can be ignorant of God's Word is having heard what we have, and every one of us in this room have heard a lot of what God has said. But if we stop listening to it, what we have heard is going to, what's going to happen to that? What did He also mention there in Hosea verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6, that was part of the, led to the ignorance of the people, their lack of knowledge of God's Word? He said they had forgotten His law. So had they never heard it? Well, many of them had heard it, but then what happened? They did not continue to remind themselves of it. They did not continue in their seeking of God and studying His Word. And then what happened to what they had heard before, what they once knew? They forgot. So we have to remember God's Word. Now, are we going to be able to read all the Bible when we're very young, read it through one time, and it's all in there, we know and understand all of it right there from that time, and then we don't ever have to read it again? No. We're going to forget what we have heard if we don't continue to read it more. We're not going to learn more without that effort. But we have to hear God's Word. We have to first learn it, and then we have to be constantly reminded by His Word. We have to continually study His Word day by day so that we remember what He has said and do not forget that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the actual meaning of that word study, which is what study is being diligent. If we don't show diligence in seeking to know God's Word, so that's more than just reading it. We have to read it with diligence. That really comes through in that word study. But otherwise, are we going to be approved unto God? There's only one way that God is going to approve of us, and that is by showing diligence so that we know His Word and are able to rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, we will not have God's approval, and we will not be a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Instead, we will be without God's approval and worthy of being ashamed. So we have it really spelled out in two ways. We can either diligently seek God by searching His Word to know it and then have His approval and not have to be ashamed, or we can be ignorant of it, forget it, and then we will have His disapproval and be worthy of shame. So it is so important that we study the Scriptures and to do so and seek Him on a daily basis. In the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, if we can turn there to chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we find a lot in this book on this subject of knowing and being reminded of God's Word. But they had a warning. God's people were warned by the Lord not to forget His Word. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." So what will happen if we're not continuing to put forth the effort to seek the Lord, to remind ourselves of His teachings and His commandments? He's warning us that we will forget if we are not seeking Him and showing diligence in our study of His Word. Verse 19, same chapter, Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, he says, "And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Well, there's there's a workman that will be worthy of shame and one who will not have God's approval. So the same principles we were reading there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we see that here as he's warning us not to forget the Lord by forgetting his commandments. Because if we do, we will perish. There's no way that we're going to have the eternal salvation of our souls if we are not reminding ourselves and continually learning and remembering what God has taught to be able to do that. In the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 25, James chapter 1, verse 25, this is a passage where God is describing his word and comparing it to a mirror. So it is our spiritual mirror that we look into. We can see ourselves, see what we are like in our inner man. And in comparison to what God has taught us that we should be. So James 1 verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He warns us not to be a forgetful hearer. We need to look into it. So there's the studying of his word. If we don't ever look in the mirror, and looking in the mirror is studying his word in this application. If we don't look in the mirror, we're not going to know. We're not going to know what we look like spiritually. We're not going to know what God is seeing in us. We're not going to know what we need to change and how we need to grow and what we need to do. That's the ignorance. But if we look in that mirror and then leave it and we forget what we saw, we forget what God says, we forget what, and are not mindful of his teachings and applying that to our following what he has taught, then we're a forgetful hearer. We're not going to be a doer of his work. And we won't be blessed in our deed in such a case. The only way to be blessed in what we're doing by God is when we are looking into his word and then remembering it and not forgetting what he has taught and doing what he says we must do. And otherwise, we will forget. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is another passage that teaches us the importance of being renewed in our minds. It can't enter there one time and just stay there. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If we're not going to sacrifice ourselves and to put away our own will and desires, to crucify that, and then to only live for the Lord, to seek to know his will and do it, and that's why he starts with that in verse 1, we're not going to be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But then he tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the only way we're going to be able to have that change. That's what that transformation is. From where we were, and who among us at one point was not walking after the course of this world? We all were. We were all a part of it. There was a time in our lives when we were in the world and of the world. But now he says we're to be transformed, not to be conformed to this world, but we need to be changed, transformed into the image of Christ. But the only way that's going to happen is for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto him and then be renewed in our minds. So we have to hear his teachings over and over again. Because we may have been transformed a little bit to this point. How are we going to be transformed some more and then some more and some more until we are fully conformed into the image of Christ and have his love completed in us? That the only way that process is going to be able to take place and be completed is for us to be renewed in our minds, to constantly, daily, hear the words and teachings of our Maker and to remind ourselves of it and never forget it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, this is greatly emphasized here by God's inspiration through his apostle Peter that he used so well in the spreading of the gospel in that first century. We read so much about Peter in his life in his young years when he was first became a follower of Christ as his disciple and was with him through his ministry all the way through until he was crucified and resurrected. And then Peter was a pillar in the church, as he's called in the book of Galatians, and taught his taught the gospel of Christ in many places, and was used well by the Lord in his life as one of his apostles. And there are few that we have in the New Testament as an example, a good example, quite like we have the Apostle Peter, probably second only to the Apostle Paul or perhaps John in that. But those are ones that the Lord gives us much to study and learn from as far as their lives. And then God was using Peter to teach his word to his children. And he didn't just do that one time, as we read here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Now, how would he have viewed that, viewed himself, if he had taught these Christians one time, said something as far as what God's will was, and taught that one time, and then that was it? He would have considered himself to be negligent if that's all he had done. Well, some people don't like to hear the same sermons or the same topics taught on over and over again, but is that a problem with the teacher or the preacher if the same things come up a few times or a lot of times? Well, I know that's easy for me to say that that's not the preacher's problem then, but here I am. But look at what, don't listen to me on that. Listen to God through the Apostle Peter and what he had to say about that. So Peter was laboring not to be negligent, but to put them always in remembrance of those things. He says, though you know them and be established in the present truth. I don't know how much of what we're looking at here is a brand new thought for anybody here today, that we need to know God's word and be reminded of it and remember it always. There's probably not a lot in here that's brand new to your ears here. But is that a problem? Well, even though we know these things and be established in this present truth, if we're not continually reminded of it, what's going to happen? We can forget it. How many people have? How many people have heard God's word and heard it very much, and then they stop hearing it, and then they forget, and then they turn away? And that danger is there for any of us and all of us, and that's why we need to be reminded of these things and need to always be in remembrance of it, of what God has said. Verse 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." The Apostle Peter was determined he was going to preach and write those things so much and so often that even after he was dead and gone, the echo of his words would be there, that they would still remember what he said, because he was going to say it that much. He wasn't being a problem for doing that. This was for their good, and we need to be doing that for one another, reminding ourselves and putting each other in remembrance of these things that God has said, so that we never forget them, that we never forsake them. In chapter 3 of the same book, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So both 1 and 2 Peter contains what? Contains these teachings to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. Well, in 1 and 2 Peter, are those the only books that we read all of the things that are in there? Or do we read things in both of those epistles that are also taught in other books in God's Word? Well, we're going to find that taught in other places too, but that's good. Here we can, when we read it some more, and we're studying the book of 1 Peter Wednesday nights right now, and one of the things that we've started to emphasize and see in our study of that book is how every chapter of the book of 1 Peter contains teachings about the necessity of our enduring tribulation, trials on our faith, persecutions, and suffering for righteousness' sake, and how God uses that to help us to grow spiritually. Well, it's in every chapter of that book. Absolutely every chapter of that book. Well, why do we need that in every chapter of that book? And do we find that same subject taught on in other books in God's Word? And yes, and as we're going through our study of that book, we're comparing that with teachings in other places. Well, is that good or bad? I mean, that's good that God has given us all of those teachings in all of those places to help us to understand that and to stir up, he says, our pure minds by way of remembrance. What's the difference between our having our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance or having our minds renewed by the renewing of our minds, as he put it in Romans 12, verse 2? He's talking about the same process. So there again, and we can see we have multiple places in God's Word, Old and New Testaments, where he teaches us how important it is for us to study and know God's Word and remind ourselves of it so that we do not forget it. So we will be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets. There's the Old Testament scriptures and what has been spoken by Christ through the apostles, the New Testament scriptures. So there in verse 2, he's making reference to both the Old and the New Testaments, what God has taught there. We need to know all of that. We need to be mindful of those words. Well, what does it mean to be mindful of something? To have it in our minds. Well, we have to study it for it to be there, and we have to continue to study that so that we retain that we remember that. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 2, we can see how our Lord gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He's the source of that, but that has to come by our seeking after it, and to do so like hid treasure. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. When will we understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? Because God is the source of that. He says, if we do those things there. And there are quite a few conditional teachings there that we have to do in order for us to be able to understand God's word. Well, among those things he teaches there, he says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Does that sound like what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, giving diligence. Well, what does that mean? Do we go to God's word seeking after it like one would seek after silver and search for a hid treasure? Even reading the news, we've heard some things in recent days. There's some old Spanish ship, I think, off the coast of South America that they're trying to raise from the bottom, or at least get to that, because legend is there's some great treasure, Spanish silver and all that, anyway, that supposedly be worth billions now. And people that they've known about that being in that area for a long time, they're trying to apply all this technology to get to it. What do people do what kind of extent will people go to if they find there's some hidden treasure somewhere? Something very valuable when it comes to material things. And what would happen if somebody gave us some reasonable information that maybe on our property somewhere there was a treasure, something like that? Would we just say, oh, okay, or would we go check it out? And what would most people do? I mean, they're gonna give, and how many people have even given their lives in searching after something like that? And we know the efforts that people will go to in a quest or a search for some material gain or treasure. What greater treasure is there than what we have right here in God's Word? I mean, this is eternal. This is not some material treasure that's going to be one day that's going to be corrupted and rust away or be ended by the very end of this world that's also going to come at some point. All these material things are going to be done away with. But what about God's Word, His teachings, and His ways? If we know those things and do them, and then we go on to eternity, and if we have our hearts formed in righteousness and all that is of God's heart, and we partake of those things, and if we are transformed into the image of Christ, is that something that we lose when we leave this life and go to eternity, or is that something? Is that who we then are for eternity? These are the eternal treasures, and there's nothing on this earth that compares to it. But what does he say about the kind of diligence that we need to apply to seeking to know what God has said, to understand it? Well, we need to be going after this in the same way that people of this world go after these material treasures. Do we do that? Or do we just let it collect dust on a shelf? We need to be diligently seeking him, like he says there. He says when we do that, then we're going to understand it. And that's how we're going to be able to remember it and not forget that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, and you can see, yeah, you've made us turn to this one a lot. Well, this is an excellent scripture for us to have ingrained in our minds so that we are mindful of it and what he says there. But 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And so there's the contrast between the physical part of us that is temporal and the eternal part of us. And we do have those two parts. We've got this physical body. We are getting older. None of us are getting younger here. And so some of these younger ones, you're getting stronger still. But that peak comes pretty fast. And then that's it. Then it, from there, it's that gradual weakening over time. And that's the way it is. So we're not going to be here forever. We're not here long at all. But we have a part of us, our inner man, that he says is eternal. And though our outward man is perishing, what should be happening with our inner man? And how long and how often should that be taking place? We should be growing stronger in our inner man daily. That should be something that's happening day by day. Now, how are we going to grow stronger in our inner man day by day without searching God's Word and studying that day by day? Are we going to have a day? Can we take a few days off from studying God's Word, and we're going to keep growing and getting stronger in our inner man, even though we're not going to the source? That's not going to happen. We need to be studying His Word and seeking after that every day and not take a day off from that. And we all need to be doing all that we can to make sure that happens for ourselves and for each other. In Hebrews 3:13, he says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." So if we're having one of those days where we're busy and do a lot of things and we're not going to taking the time out to consider God's Word and to look at that, well, if we're getting some exhortation from somebody else of our number to do that, and we talk about God's Word, I mean, it doesn't have to be for hours and hours. Good if it is, but even if it's just a few minutes, if we have that exhortation and we remind ourselves of what God is, what He's taught us, and if we're doing that day by day, that makes sure all of us gets to do that every day. So we need that. We do have that responsibility, and we can be helping each other in that on a daily basis. It's interesting when we go to the Old Testament and we see how much God did to ensure that His people would have the opportunities, not just for themselves, but God set things up and designed it so that they would receive very regular reminders of His Word. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, He told them how His Word was not far away. He made sure His Word was very near to all of them, just as He's done with us. In fact, He quotes these verses in Romans 10 and applies it to us also. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 14, He says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." So God had made sure that it would be very near to them, that they would hear His words and hear it often. In chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, He said, "And these words which I command... which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So how many ways would they be reminded in that way? And He was telling them how they needed to be reminded of His words in all those different ways every day, and needed to be talking of those things with one another every day, wherever they went, from the time they got up to the time they went to bed. He wanted His people to be remembering His words, to be reminded of it so they would not forget what He had taught them. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, the first three verses, and all the way down to verse 8, He had His words plastered on stones for all of His people in the nation to see plainly. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, every 7 years He had commanded them to read all that God had said. Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 through 13. He would have all of His words read before all the people every 7 years. So they would all, as a nation, gather together that often to hear all of the words read at that time. Well, that would be a lot. But if they were doing all of those things like they should, would they have forgotten His word and then become destroyed by a lack of knowledge? Well, God was doing that to protect them from having that destruction, from forgetting His words. Well, He reminds us of His these things, and in order to stir up our minds to remember and never forget. So we want to be encouraging each other in that, and all of us show that kind of diligence each and every day as we're seeking to learn more of His ways, to walk in all of His ways, and not to forget those things that we have heard. If you're here this morning and you're ready to obey the gospel of Christ, this is an opportunity for anyone that needs to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or anyone that is here that is a member of the body of Christ. If you need to return to the Lord, if you've forgotten His ways or not been following them, anyone that needs to make things right with Him, this is an opportunity for you also. So we're encouraging anyone that needs to come at this time to do so, while we stand together and sing.